From a distance, you see a tropical paradise isolated from the rest of the world. But up close, North Sentinel Island in the middle of the Bay of Bengal is home to one of the most elusive tribes on Earth. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, Adam Goodhart tells us what a visit to the Andaman Islands showed him about the isolated Sentinelese people. And a guide from Portugal tells us why the venerable university town of Coimbra is such a delight to explore. Let's start the hour getting acquainted with Amsterdam's charming canals. Amsterdam, with 60 miles of canals, is known as the Venice of the North. Amsterdam's canals can teach us about its history and its culture, and they're just simply delightful. Dutch tour guide Dennis Hedits loves to help travelers understand Amsterdam through its famous waterways. He's lived in Amsterdam now for about 25 years, and he's guided for much of that time. He's joining us today to talk about how Amsterdam's canals have been tools for trade, travel, and celebration. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you wrote that the canals are like tools for trade and travel and celebration. How so?
Well, starting with trade, it means that the Dutch used these canals, and they still do, to transport goods over the water. Already hundreds of years ago, they have found out that it's easiest to move things on the water, much easier than on the road. Travel is because we also move people on the water. And celebrating life, this is because there's nothing more fun than taking a beer or a glass of wine and putting your feet over the side of the canal and just sit there and watch the boats passing by. And then I'm not even talking about sitting on a little boat yourself, which is actually one of the most fun things to do.
Some of my favorite memories, you can rent a boat and, it's a little electric powered and just putt around the town, and it's just, you're in a parallel world. I've got one photo of a bunch of Dutch people in one of these party boats, and they look like businessmen who just cut out of work early and they gather together like they do it every Wednesday or something. And it's my symbol of Dutch people just knowing the balance of how much work you should do and how much living you should do. And the Dutch people love to incorporate the canals into their lifestyle, especially on a festival. I've been there on the Queen's birthday or the King's birthday, whoever's on the throne, and you can literally walk across the canal from boat to boat, can't you?
Yeah, it's amazing to be on a boat during that day. Also because King's Day, because we have a king at the moment, it sort of means no rules.
I didn't know that. King's Day is a day to break the rules.
Yes.
It's kind of a smart festival to keep people, give them a safety valve, and then they'll toe the line on the other days.
Yeah, it is actually like that. And Amsterdam is already a city with a lot of freedom and a rebellious spirit. But especially during King's Day, it's sort of going to the max. It's also the only day I don't do tours because I want to. This is Amsterdam on its best, so I want to enjoy it.
Ah, good going. I like that. Hey, just a little bit of practical background on the canals in Amsterdam. First of all, when you look at the name of a canal, you can understand a little bit about why it is there. Gracht, you see the word gracht a lot.
Yes. Yeah, gracht actually means canal.
Uh-huh.
So the Dutch translation for the word canal is gracht.
Okay. And there's four main, it seems like the historic core of the city has four canals. You got Single Canal, you got Herengracht, Kaisergracht, and Prinsengracht. Heren is the aristocrats. Kaiser would be the king and the prince would be the prince, right?
Yeah, there's many more canals in Amsterdam, but these are the most famous ones. These were all built in the 1700s. First big city expansion of my city. And they're also all part of UNESCO, another main reason for people to visit. But in my neighborhood, there are also canals. The block I live in is 100 years old, which we consider not that old. But still, there are canals in my neighborhood too.
So the tourist just enjoys strolling down the canal, as imagine the locals do too. But there's a lot of water management behind the scenes.
Yes.
They need to be flushed out and they have to maintain the level. They need to be dredged. How do they keep the canals clean and how do they monitor the water and what kind of dredging do they need to do?
Well, dredging is something that is an ongoing thing. They are doing this every day on certain spots and it just sort of keeps on going. The canals are not that deep. In average, I would say 3 meters, which is about 10 feet. And the water level actually never goes up and down. Since we have the Delta works, meaning we sort of closed off the outside of my country. We don't have too many problems with flooding or the water. The water goes up a few centimeters when there's a lot of heavy rain, but that's it.
Okay. And when they dredge the canal, what do they find? What do they pull up? What's the junk on the bottom of the canal generally?
Trash, a lot of bikes. I think that's mostly it. These days, the canals are so, the water, I should say, the water is so clean that we actually swim in it.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of times when I tell people, they look at me like we are crazy. But this is how clean the water is these days. Of course, hundreds of years ago, it wasn't like that because then they were considered a sewer. So they would throw basically anything in it. But these days, not only our houses, but also all our houseboats are connected to a sewer. This water is so clean that in summertime, when the temperature goes up a lot, we all love to swim in the canals.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with tour guide Dennis Hedditz. And Dennis is joining us from Amsterdam right now for a look at the canals that the city is built upon. Dennis's website is lovemycitytours.com. Dennis, I understand there's like 3,000 houseboats, that a lot of these are retired, former industrial kind of barges that have been retooled. They get rid of their big engine and they have a living room and they tie it up to the canal and it's just like extra residential space.
Yeah, and it became a way of living. Already 25 or 30 years ago, the city of Amsterdam said no more new spots for houseboats, and the prices went up even more. The most expensive houseboat I have seen for sale online was 2.5 million euros, which is quite a lot.
That's $2.5 million. That's quite a nice houseboat, but can you imagine a better address? That's pretty nice. You talked about dredging, Dennis, and I understand a few people drowned every year in the canals, and usually when they pull a body up of somebody who's drowned, it's a man with his zipper down.
Yes, meaning probably drunk in the evening when it's dark, fell into very cold water.
Actually, he was going to urinate, right? I mean, he couldn't find one of the outdoor urinals, and he's a little tipsy, and that's the last mistake he'll make.
Yes. I actually read that the Amsterdam Fire Department, every year they have about 200 calls to take people out of the water. Of course, more people will fall into the water, but most people get out themselves. But from those 200 calls, only one or two people a year don't survive.
Oh, okay. And that would probably be after dark and drunk.
Yeah.
So you're going to be drinking in Amsterdam. Don't take a pee in the canal. Just don't do that.
No.
Dennis, the big takeaway for me last year when I was with you exploring Amsterdam, you were helping me update my guidebook, the walls were collapsing and they had these temporary walls built. And these walls are like centuries old now and they were built to support, you know, smaller buildings and horses, not trucks. And there's a big expensive problem Amsterdam is facing in replacing these embankments, these canal walls. Is that right?
Yes, and maybe even one of the biggest problems at the moment. They should have started this already a long time ago, but they didn't. Mm. And yeah, from sort of say one bridge to another bridge, it sometimes takes almost half a year to redo both sides of the canal.
Because
the water they have to take the water away. They also have to watch out that nothing happens to these buildings, which are 400 or 500 years old. It's also quite sad because where they are redoing the sides of the canals, they have to take all the trees away. So imagine this beautiful canal with big green trees, and then suddenly all the trees are gone, and then it's like, you know, construction work, but it has to be done to guarantee our safety.
Well, it's a fascinating thing from a traveler's point of view to see the false walls that are built with like corrugated metal fencing, it seems like, pounded into the bed, holding back the water so that you can make the walls dry and exposed and do that work, right?
Yeah, and they have actually boats built to do it. I recently saw a movie on YouTube where they explained how they are now going to do it, and it's quite fascinating to see. And because it's so much work to redo it.
It's fascinating to get this backstory on that. Hey, Dennis, just to finish off our little conversation on the canals, there's a need for canals, whether it's in the city or in the countryside. I'll never forget going to the newest piece of land in the Netherlands, where half of the land is reclaimed from the sea, Flevoland. And it was, I understand, the last major reclamation project, essentially a new province in the country. And in that place, many of the people who live there are older than the land itself. It's all that flat polder land reclaimed from the sea. Can you just tell us in a little nutshell why there are canals when you're thinking of reclaiming land that's below sea level from the sea? What is the function of all these canals that you find when you drive through the countryside?
Well, because as you just said yourself, a big part of my country is below sea level, they still have to drain the water out of these areas. And of course, the water has to go somewhere. So they pump the water into these canals. And then through the canals, the water can reach the ocean. Imagine a lake. They pump out all the water out of that lake. And then they create new land in that lake. But actually, the water has to go somewhere. And they still have to keep on doing that. And that's one of the reasons these canals are there.
And these canals then could be, the water in those canals could be pumped with an Archimedes screw and a windmill over the dike into the open sea.
Yeah, well, we used to do that where we back in the days needed 50 to 100 of these windmills. And now sometimes we have one big electric pump. Just in time, we realized that these windmills are part of our heritage. So the windmills that are left, they are all national monuments now. Some you can even visit inside, and then you can actually see very clear how this is done.
Dennis, it's so interesting to be with you again. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for giving us a little better understanding of something that is so integral to our visit of the Netherlands and Amsterdam, the canals. Dank u wel.
Alsjeblieft. You're welcome.
Dennis Herts leads walking, cycling, and even private canal boat tours around Amsterdam at lovemycitytours.com. One of Europe's oldest university towns is Coimbra. We'll hear how its traditions make it a real plus for any itinerary to Portugal in just a bit. But first, Adam Goodhart tells us what he found about one of the most elusive tribes on Earth who lives sheltered from the outside world on North Sentinel Island in the Indian Ocean. You're listening to Travel with Rick Steves.